Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And the show has a topic hour and an arts hour. Right now, we're featuring thought-provoking conversations with artists. And my guest is Australian director, writer and actor Romy Trower, whose film What If It Works had its world premiere at the Cinequest Film Festival in Silicon Valley. What If It Works is a romantic and endearing film, the unlikely subject of which is the burgeoning love between a man with OCD and a woman with multiple personalities. And mental illness is increasingly in the news as its stigmatization and lack of adequate funding for care is discussed. What If It Works takes a difficult subject and injects it with humanity, light, and gentle humor. I really liked this film. Although it's ostensibly about mental illness, it really isn't. It's about what it means to be human in all its wonderful variations. It's poignant and moving and definitely gives an insight into what it means to struggle to be in the world. But it does it in a colorful, nuanced, and hopeful way. The film also has some great art in it and a wonderful soundtrack and is literally very colourful in its production design. Romy has worked as a writer, director and actor in TV, film and theatre for many years. Her previous short films, Chocolate Cake and No One Is Listening Anymore, picked up international sales and distribution after successfully playing international festivals. Romy has also written a sellout play, Too Beautiful for Garbage. Talking about her feature film debut, What If It Works, Romy says it is a film about human beings finding the inner strength to solve their own loneliness, not through the more common sexual romantic relationship, but through true friendship and deep understanding. Well, I was fortunate to catch up with Romy at the Hammer Theatre in San Jose at the Cinequest Film Festival after her film's world premiere. So let's hear my conversation with Romy now. So I'm with Romy Trower from the film What If It Works, which had its world premiere here at Cinequest. Thanks so much for talking to me. And maybe first you could just give us an overview of the film for listeners without giving too much away.
So my film, What If It Works, it centres around Adrian, who is a tech nerd who loves fast cars, and he has a severe case of OCD, or obsessive compulsive disorder. And he crashes into his new neighbour, Grace. Grace is a street artist, and she has dissociative identity disorder, formerly known as multiple personality disorder. And they find out they share the same psychiatrist, and a colourful love story ensues, an impossible love story.
So obviously quite an unusual story. What attracted you to tell this out of all the stories you could have told?
Definitely an unusual one, and definitely unusual characters. And the reason being is it's based on a lot of my life experiences. So it's a personal film for me in that the character of Adrian is largely based on my brother. My brother has a very severe case of OCD, or obsessive compulsive disorder, and has had it since I was about 5 years old. So it's something I've grown up with my entire life. And then my mum and my aunt are both psychiatrists. My aunt specialises in patients who have dissociative identity disorder or multiple personalities. And she would currently probably have around 30 or so patients with that disorder. And I guess I have been intrigued for as long as she's been doing it. I'm very close to both my mum and my aunt, and they share a practice, and their kind of, you know, dinner time chit chat is which patient is doing what, and, you know, discussing various psychological conditions. And because I guess my brother wasn't around a lot of the time, he was doing his own thing because of his OCD, and I found myself, you know, sitting with the girls, my mum and my auntie, and listening to their chit chat. So I was like 12 years old, and I'm like trying to understand what they're talking about, and, you know, being nosy and asking questions. But eventually it paid off, and I became, you know, very interested, particularly in dissociative identity disorder, because the nature of a person who's been fragmented or split into various parts is pretty shocking at first when you learn of it, and certainly very intriguing. And I guess I had this privilege in that I had this access to this, these stories and these people that I think not many people on the planet probably get. And I was incredibly moved by so many of their stories. And obviously my aunt or my mum, they would never give away the name of the patient, but you can still tell the story, tell the patient's story without giving away anything that gives away their identity for confidentiality purposes. So, like, I would see my aunt on a weekly basis, and I would ask her, like, you know, how a particular patient was going, and she would literally update me on, you know, what the latest was on any one of those patients. And I felt like I was following a series in a way, and I was always hoping for breakthroughs and hoping that there would be positive steps and sort of rooting, you know, for them. I guess you can probably see I'm doing that in my film too. So,
yes, I mean, it's a subject that is not commonly known much about, I would say, you know, so for an audience coming to it, do you feel like it's hard to describe the film to an audience in advance? I mean, once you've seen it, it's terribly warm and lovable and beautifully shot and all of that. It's a great story. It's not heavy, but have you felt like there's an issue with it feeling heavy to people potentially or not?
Well, that's why I say it's a drama comedy, or that awful word, dramedy. Cringe word, dramedy, but in that it's a drama with a lot of comic moments and a lot of light and a lot of vibrance and colour. And I try to use the word colourful, for lack of a better way, to describe it. That said, the locations are colourful and the use of colour in the film is kind of significant. I hope I'm able to come across, and I hope even our artwork, our poster, yes, it's bright and it's colourful and it's young and it's fun. And our music that we use in the trailer, it's their kind of uplifting young hip bands from Australia. I think all those elements help to direct you, or to, you know, help you understand that it's not a really dark, difficult, a tale. I think I could have made a documentary about it, and it potentially could be something, you know, that's very difficult to watch and very painful. But I think for me, having grown up in a household where I had a brother with severe mental illness, I felt like life was always walking a tightrope between drama and comedy, and that depending on the, you know, your mood, you might fall to the left or to the right. You could be in tears the same way you could be in laughter, and sometimes we were doing both, and sometimes our laughter turned to tears and it went back to laughter again. Also, my brother has a terrific sense of humour. He's very bright and very funny, and so I think he uses his humour, or he almost views his illness a lot in terms of through humour, and that helps us all to deal with it. This is just so important to be able to laugh when, you know, when it sounds very cliched, but when things are difficult. So I think that it's naturally the way I see life, and it's the way I see stories. So I was never going to tell a story that was deep, dark and twisted, because for me, I think sometimes the greater the pain, the greater the humour, the greater the space for light and for love and all that sort of stuff. So,
yeah. Well, and also life is so varied, isn't it? It's not black and white. It's not one thing or another. It's a tapestry of all kinds of things. So quite often, I think, with serious difficult issues, it is like a spotlight has just been shone on that particular thing, and it doesn't contextualise it very well. No. But I think your film does that wonderfully.
Well, thank you, because I think that's, that, as I said, that's just naturally how I see stories. Like, if you think about it, you don't go out one day and go, okay, today I'm a drama. You know, tomorrow I'm like insane comedy where everything's going to be hilarious like every 5 minutes.
Yes.
And like, kudos to those who do make something that makes us laugh all, like, for an hour and a half. I love it and I enjoy it, but my personal style is reflects me, and that's that is the way I see it. You start out your day, you think it's a drama, it turns into a comedy, it becomes a tragedy, goes back to a drama, and you know, and there you go. So
now, this is your first feature film, is that right? I'm wondering why you chose film as your art form.
It's really probably so many things. I mean, I think that my parents see a lot of films. To be honest, they see a lot of theatre and opera, and I was introduced to the arts at a really young age. They took me along to a lot of things, and I think I probably just connected with cinema more than I did maybe with the ballet or with the opera. Never really quite got into the opera. Very big disappointment to my parents, but just didn't do it for me. But cinema I really enjoyed. I think also maybe coming from a family where my brother, for obvious reasons, wasn't necessarily able to play with me or interact with me the way you might want, it does make you a little bit more solitary, and I think I enjoyed the escape into other stories. And it was either me in my room with dolls and creations, creating worlds and speaking in voices and accents and inventing long and complicated ongoing sagas, or I was escaping into a pre-existing one on television or in film. So I think that probably is how I ended up doing that. But I have come from a background in acting, and obviously having had experience in front of the camera, in TV, in film, it kind of was a I don't want to say an easy transition, but maybe a natural transition into directing.
I'm wondering whether you feel art can help people process difficult events, whether it's things you've experienced yourself or witnessed, and also from a perspective of, as an artist yourself, whether it helps you, but also whether you feel people consuming art, it can help them also.
Wow, that's a big question. I like yes to all of those. I really believe. I think when I look at a lot of the people that I've met that have dissociative identity disorder, so many of them draw and paint. Like so many of them, it's amazing. And I've seen lots of their books and sketches and drawings, and they're constantly painting as an outlet, as an expression of things that they wouldn't otherwise be able to articulate, or they are not able to articulate verbally. I think it helps as a release. It helps to have something, I'm just talking about painting, for example, something down on paper that you can look at and reflect upon, and perhaps take the time to interpret and then understand yourself better, or perhaps with the help of a therapist or somebody else, you can, if not on your own, it can help you understand yourself better. And I think that all art forms probably serve that purpose. I think sometimes we're able to connect to a subject matter in somebody else's art, in somebody else's film, shed some tears, feel things that perhaps are a little bit scary to feel on our own, or we haven't had the right time or the right person to share it with. And I think it sometimes opens little doors inside of us, and I think it can be helpful in that sense too. So yes, I think it's helpful to use art for your own healing, and I think that other people's art can open little psychological doors for you, and you can feel supported when you discover other characters out there that feel similarly to you, or suffer in a similar way, or experience joy or fear or whatever it is in a way that you perhaps feel, but you know you're unaware that somebody else feels the same way, and that's really very comforting. So I think there's a million reasons why art is helpful for us.
Yeah. Is that something that you consider, or maybe you considered like making this film, or is it more about the story?
I don't think I sat down and said, okay, I'm going to make something because I want to help people heal through art, although that's probably so deeply embedded in me that I probably didn't need to sit down and make that decision. I think that I'm doing that subconsciously. This is maybe sounding really convoluted, but I think I'm probably just doing that subconsciously. But ultimately, I wanted to make a story that was entertaining. I wanted to make a story that was fun and colourful and joyful and uplifting, and that wasn't maybe afraid to touch on this subject matter, in that sometimes people can be maybe a little bit apprehensive about going down the mental illness path. It immediately sounds like, oh God, it's going to be awful to watch, and I'm going to have my chest in knots, and I'm going to walk out and need a stiff drink. Yes. And I guess I wanted to make a film where, you know, mental illness can be present, but there's a lot of joy and a lot of colour and a lot of fun, because my life experiences have been that way. Like, it's not always dark and twisted, and I don't always need a stiff drink, you know? Yes. Occasionally, yes, but not always. So,
So to that point, the film doesn't go a lot into why
these people might have these issues. You do show for Grace, the lead young woman in the film, how she might have got into this place, but it's in a subtle way that focuses more on where she is right now. I was interested why, with Adrian, you didn't show any reason why he might be in that place. Was that a conscious decision or not?
Well, I think that if you look at OCD, I mean, sometimes people go through a phase in life where they develop a little bit of obsessive compulsive disorder. Like, it's quite common, for example, in your teenage years, people sometimes go through a phase where maybe it's that turning point at school that's difficult and hormones start raging and...
Well, I don't think people realise that it is an anxiety disorder.
Yes.
It's a coping mechanism for an anxiety disorder. So that's...
Absolutely. So perhaps I should clarify that. So let's say, for example, you need to, arrange your pencils and pens in perfect order, or you can't feel relaxed, or you need to kind of wash your hands like five times instead of one time in order to feel relaxed. So these actions, doing the hand washing, is the channel for the anxiety. So you do that and it provides some relief. So yes, you're quite right, it is an anxiety disorder, but there's not really like one big way that somebody ends up having OCD. Like, from my understanding, often it is somewhat genetic, but I don't think there's any, as far as I'm aware of, any concrete theory as to why somebody would develop a severe case of OCD. Is it, you know, genetics? Is it circumstantial? Is it something that happened in their childhood? Is it a whole lot of things combined? Is it a personality mixed with genetics? I think there's blurred lines there of how it came to be that way. And so I don't see my brother as having gone through like an incident that gave him OCD. That's just how he is. He developed that way. So
because the character is largely drawn from him, that's why you approached it like that.
Yeah. And because I didn't feel that then I wasn't going to offer up an explanation that I didn't have, basically, he just developed that way. Whereas with dissociative identity disorder, it's a very different situation. Anybody who has dissociative identity disorder or multiple personalities has been subjected to some form of abuse at an early age whilst the brain is still able to fragment and compartmentalize to that degree. So it's very often sexual abuse. It may be extreme neglect, but it's usually it's abuse of some sort. So there is really a way to understand how that comes about that's a lot more crystal clear than understanding why somebody has obsessive compulsive disorder. There may be people listening who have different theories as to how, you know, people come to have OCD, and I'd love to hear from any of them. But
Well, I think that's one of the triumphs of the film. We were just in a screening and one of the audience members thanked you for educating people in such an entertaining way. And I know that's not, you know, why you made the film, but I think that was a very interesting comment, because it isn't something that people know very much about, and it's an area of difference that often gets shut away. And I think people are frightened of it because people don't want to be in those situations themselves, and so it's better not to think about it. So I think the way that you've put the film together, it has so much humanity in it, and it is very light in the sense, I don't mean insubstantial, but it has a light feel to it, and you really, the characters are so engaging. They do really draw you in, and their world, even though they're behaving very extraordinarily, seems ordinary. It seems like this is a life, you know.
That's it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a guy who meets a girl, you know. it's tricky. They got to navigate how they're going to possibly get together. And, you know, they're experiencing excitement and romance and fear and all of that sort of stuff the same way anybody else does. And I think that's important to understand. So, and I guess perhaps the joy you feel when they have little wins is even greater, knowing the obstacles they have to pass through.
Yeah, absolutely. So how can people follow the film? Because is it still doing the festival circuit? Because I think sometimes people don't realise films, you know, go round all the festivals before they have any kind of release or whatever. So if people are interested in finding out more, how can they do that?
Absolutely. It's going to do some festivals and it will eventually be available and released, but I can't give you dates for that just yet. But what you can do is please follow us on Facebook. It's at What If It Works Movie. Like us and follow our journey. We'll give you updates as to where we are, when we're going to screen, when our release is. And we are on Instagram also as at What If It Works Movie. Follow us. We'll post lots of colourful pics of our journey and update soon.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me, and I really encourage people to go and see the film. It's a very special film.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and that was my guest, Romy Trower, there, director and writer of the film What If It Works, and it is really an interesting film. And if you go to the show website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, at the top there's a tab saying guests. If you click on that, then you will find a photograph of Romy Trower, and if you click on that, it brings up the page with all the information, photographs from the film. And I'm also putting up a link to the trailer of the film, which will give you a real idea of what it's all about, and also a link to the Facebook page for the film. So thanks again, Romy, and again, listeners, that's itsaquestionofbalance.com if you want to check out previous guests and Romy's page. And also, if you go to the homepage of the website, at the top there's another tab, Topics, and if you click on that, then it will bring up all the past topics that we've done on the show, which are, a lot of them, very thought-provoking. So I hope you might go along there and do that. And also remember to tune in if you're able to listen live, 8 to 9 p.m., and if not, then you have the opportunity to listen to the podcast anytime. And thanks again for listening. I hope you will join me again next time.